Hi and welcome to the Crime Pod. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Sam.
This week we are off to England and we're going somewhere I don't think we've been before and I like the place a lot, so I'm looking forward to telling you this story. This week I'm going to be telling you the case of Sasha Marsden. Before I ask you the usual question, Samantha, we are now in CrimeCon month, which is wild. It's wild. I know, it's wild. I feel like it's came around so quick. And yeah, I think we're looking forward to it, it's fair to say.
Yes, definitely. I am.
You're like, oh. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think you're obviously a bit nervous. We've never done anything like this before. But yeah, I think it'll really be good fun. And a lot of you guys have mentioned that you're coming, which is great. So it'll be nice to meet some people. And for those that still do want to come and haven't got tickets, we still have our 10% off until the day, I think, really. So yeah, we've got our code, JustCrimePod, all in caps, one word, if you'd like a wee 10% off the ticket price. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's come around so soon, I feel. I think when we first got offered ASAM, we were like, oh, April.
We've got forever.
I think about that in March, and then I don't really remember March.
No, that remember was being just... skint. Yeah, it's been a month, I tell
you. It's been a time. But yeah, looking forward to meeting anyone that can come, and if you can't come, we'll still post stuff on our social media and there might be talks of a giveaway or something fun, but that is for said future. Back to the story of today. So Sam, have you heard of this case? Did you guess where, if I said it somewhere I like a lot?
Yes, the first thing that came into my head was Blackpool.
Yes, it is.
Because not like one, I don't think we actually have been here in the Crime Pod. We have obviously been to the Pleasure Beach, etc. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah, I was so sure we had him.
Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of it, obviously. Don't be daft. Not heard of the case, but have been to Blackpool.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going back. We're going back about 11 years to 2013. And as I said, we are going to Blackpool. So for those that are listening abroad, or even those that are like, what is this Blackpool you speak of? Blackpool is a seaside resort and it's basically on the Irish Sea side of the coast of England. It's known really for, it's got Blackpool Pleasure Beach, which is like a massive old school theme park with like vintage wooden roller coasters, but it's also been done up and has more modern roller coasters.
Oh, there's... yeah, but can I just confirm those roller coasters are very old and rickety, and as an adult, it hurts like fuck.
Yeah, there's a couple
when
now.
You're bounced about in them. So
yeah, that Big Dipper is great fun, but you're kind of like, ah, ow.
You come away with a migraine and a bruise, but yeah, it's great fun.
Yeah, true. But worth it. It's also got, obviously, the Blackpool Tower, which, this is so bad. It almost looks like a bit of an Eiffel Tower.
No, you didn't.
It's similar structure.
A small Eiffel Tower.
It's a small Eiffel Tower. So if you've not been to Paris, just go Blackpool. So obviously that the Blackpool Tower has got the Tower Ballroom, the circus, etc. There's also the Blackpool Illuminations, which is along like the promenade every kind of wintery time. So it is a really nice place, to be fair. And I feel like most people, like kids that grew up, especially in England or Scotland, you've been to the Pleasure Beach. Like you've definitely gone there some summer. I've gone obviously quite a few times as an adult and as a kid. And I've got a soft spot for Blackpool. I think it gets a lot
of hate. It's a cheap and cheerful. Mm. It's, before we paint a different picture of it, like it's not one of those places that, you know, you would pay a fortune to go to. You know, so a lot of it is known for you get a coach ride down, all the old dairies play bingo and drink like crazy, and then get a coach ride back up. So yeah. I mean,
but do you know what it is? It's that, like, do you know, for us, like, we're city kids, like as much as we've got the seaside down at the front, it's not the same as like it's a promenade seaside town. Like you've got your amusements, you've got your piers, you've got your candy floss on the beach kind of side of things, you've then got a theme park at one end, you've got all your hotels have like evening entertainment and stuff going on, there's loads of restaurants, there's a Ripley's Believe It or Not, there's a Waxworks, like it's, there's so much you can do. And I
but
feel like
also
it just...
I'd like to point out, sorry, it's a very deprived area of England that needs more resources put into it by the government.
Sam, you speak, yeah. You preach, girl. But yeah, no, it does. That is true. And I think it is a kind of more deprived part of the country. And I think a lot of that is probably because Blackpool relied a lot on tourism and a lot of the tourism industry. I think, you know, that's a lot of it is, I'll go on to, it's made up from hotels and the theme park section that I've talked about. But now, because there is more things as budget airlines and there's more kids go free holiday places, that it's probably cheaper to actually a family of four to have a week in Spain than it actually would be to have a week in Blackpool, which is obviously very unfortunate for the tourism industry because a lot of the jobs in Blackpool are in the tourism industry. So I think it's the same as we're seeing kind of all over the country, really. But especially, yeah, you're right, Sam. So back to the case, which is the very kind of start of the year, which is the 31st of January 2013. As I'd spoke about the illuminations, everything at the Christmas lights are now down and they're almost onto that, let's say, that shite part of winter. Do you know, Christmas is done, your tree's down, your lights are down. You've kind of got over, you've run out of now being like, oh, it's January, getting used to the year. You're in February, but it's still dark, it's minging, it's raining. Shite thing. So at around 9:15 p.m. that night, smoke appeared behind the Grafton House Hotel. Now, I was going to start describing with where this hotel is in Blackpool, but actually, you're probably never going to find it. And actually, Samantha, would you like to guess how many hotels are in Blackpool?
Is this also including like B&Bs?
Yeah, so some, okay. Like Blackpool's 35 kilometres squared, basically.
I'm going to say 350.
Okay, is that your final guess?
Yeah. I feel it's wrong with that. With that tone you just used.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it is wrong, yeah, but would you like to guess again?
572.
Okay, thank you. There are 618 current hotels.
That was close.
That is close, that was better. I hope you all played along there, but there are 618 hotels currently bookable in Blackpool. So for somewhere that size, Blackpool has got rows and rows and streets of B&Bs and hotels. You don't need to stay in your travel lodges, your Premier Inn when you're there. The better, like honestly, the more small B&B it is, the better. Most times I've gone, we've stayed in a B&B and I've never had a bad experience. It's been a bit of a laugh, but it's definitely, definitely good. So behind this hotel, the Grafton House Hotel, there's smoke and this sets off the hotel smoke alarm and this obviously rings through the empty streets. The owner of the nearby Kimber House Hotel, Carl Evans, hears this and he thinks, you know, it's just an alarm. I can probably imagine the amount of time smoke alarms go off in hotels or houses with kitchens, etc. So the minute you hear a smoke alarm, you don't go run into your window. You don't. Like, that's not something you do. He then heard somebody shouting, so he went out to investigate and he saw flames in the alleyway behind the hotel. A local dog walker had also seen this and that was the person he heard shouting. They were shouting for help and people ran over to the flames and tried to put them out with buckets of water. Now what they realise has happened is a mannequin has been set on fire in the alleyway, but of course it is not a mannequin, and they realise it's the body of a young woman. Most of her clothes had been burnt off and she was lying in a pool of blood. Now Carl, the witness, said that she was curled up almost like in the fetal position and he wasn't able to see her legs. The police arrive on the scene, of course, and so do the fire brigade. The police say that the burns on the victim were so bad that visual ID is going to be impossible. So they set up a perimeter and begin documenting the scene. The body is removed and taken to a medical examiner, and the pathologist said that the young woman had stab wounds, actually a total of 58, to her head and neck. They had stabbed her so hard that the blade had actually punctured her skull, and she also had defence wounds, so it's clear that she was fighting back and protecting herself. She had also been raped and sodomised, and just outside of Blackpool, while this is all going on, police are currently at a family's house taking reports of their missing daughter, who was last seen working at this hotel. So I'm taking you away from the scene now, and I'm going to tell you a bit about who this missing girl is. Sorry. So this is Sasha Marsden. Sasha was born on the 7th of May 1996 to parents Gary and Jane, and she was the youngest of four siblings. The family moved to Steyning in 2004, which is near Blackpool. It's a kind of smaller place, obviously. It's not the same size as Blackpool, obviously. And Blackpool was kind of known to be the big city. It's almost towards the side of like Blackpool Zoo, if that makes any sense. Like you're heading out that side, but it's a kind of small, wee place in England. So nothing overly exciting, not to be rude about it. It's kind of your typical wee village. They moved there in 2004, which I said, and that was near Blackpool. She was confident and would openly tell you her opinion. She was described as cheeky, and as she became a teenager, she became very grown up for her age. She spent more time with her friends and family and would get embarrassed when having to hang out with her parents, which I think is a stage we've all been through. She liked to keep busy. She'd go out with her friends, go to the cinema with friends. And as I said, she spent a lot of time in Blackpool because it's the closest big place. She's 14 at this time. It's a busier town. She would hang out with her friends. They'd go to the amusements. They'd go to the beach. They would just go as it kind of took them away from their small town life. In July 2010, Jane, Sasha's mum, got a phone call from the police to inform her that there'd been an incident and that Sasha was at the police station. Now, she was informed that Sasha had actually been approached with her friend by a 22-year-old man in the park. He had offered them some vodka and Sasha had never drank before, so she drank some and got very, very drunk. She passed out and then the 22-year-old man actually went on to rape Sasha. Her friend said that they couldn't intervene as the man was bigger than him, but two strangers actually managed to stop him and call for help. The 22-year-old was actually arrested, charged and found guilty of the rape of Sasha and got 5 years, 4 months in prison. Now, this changed Sasha, of course. She became a bit of a different teenager after this incident. She struggled to cope with the trauma and she began getting bullied at school. So she began skipping school, self-harming and drinking heavily. Now, she began running away from home, and in 2012, there was actually a nationwide search for her because she went missing. And she was actually found in Suffolk, which is miles away, and she was there with a guy who was 2 years older than her. Sasha had began kind of stabilising almost in 2013 and had started to kind of get a bit more grounded almost. She'd enrolled to study childcare studies a year before and she loved studying, and it's actually this year, 2013, that she was going to get her work placement in this field. Now, studying and working with kids was her dream job. In January 2013, a friend had told her there was a part-time cleaning job in Blackpool coming up, and it wasn't that Sasha wanted to move out straight away. You know, she was only kind of 16 years old. However, she was wanting some financial independence. She was obviously having to ask her mum and dad for money, which, you know what it was like, that kind of 15, 16-year-old, like before you got a job, it was that having a, life gets more expensive. You know, you get money from your parents, maybe pocket money or whatnot, but when you're wanting to then go out with your friends all the time and life becomes more than just bus fares and, you know, going out, you're wanting to go out for meals, you want to go out to cinema, you want to go out and, you know, you want to buy drinks or whatever, you know, you have to, getting your own money and kind of being financially independent is important at that age. So I totally get where she was coming from. On the 28th of January, so a couple of days before the start of the story, Gary, her dad, dropped her in Blackpool for an interview. Now, she didn't know exactly where this hotel was, then the manager offered to come meet her on the high street, which, as I said, there is hundreds of hotels in Blackpool, so this made sense. Half an hour later, her dad got a phone call to go and pick her back up, and she had done a kind of mini trial shift, and it went really, really well. She'd made up a couple of beds. The manager said that was great and that they would take her on as a part-time cleaner for the hotel. She was even paid £10 for her shadow shift. So she was over the moon, and so were her parents. Like, look at kind of what happened 3 years prior. Like, she has now completely turned around her life around. She's studying a career that she loves and she now has a part-time job to earn some of her mom money. Like, she is thriving here, and I think it was a really, really good time in her life. Sasha's first shift was booked for January the 31st. So that morning she went to college, went to her lectures and then got dropped off by her dad again in town and went to work. She said she'd get in touch with him when her shift ended, as she actually didn't know what time her shift was going to end. That hadn't really been discussed. So she said she'd check in with her manager when she got there, see how much there was to do, and then she would be in touch. Sash went off to work, however, but they didn't hear from her. And her mum and dad got a bit concerned, but thought, you know, she's maybe just got in and got like stuck right into it, or she's maybe been given like a list to do and she's thinking, I'll just text them when I'm done. Like, it is no concern. She knows Blackpool, she'll be fine. Time went on and her parents kept waiting and kind of said, right, we'll wait till 8:30 p.m. and then we'll worry. It got to 8:30 p.m. and she wasn't home, and what was really concerning them is that she had plans that night. She was actually going to a party with her boyfriend, so they knew that it's not that she then went and met friends after. It's not that she then said, oh, actually, I've got no plans, I'll stay on and work a bit later. They knew she had plans to go to, so that's why they were quite concerned. Her parents didn't know what the hotel was called, so that's obviously another issue in which they probably just never thought to ask, or they maybe had been told, but you're going to forget it. Like, how on earth are you going to remember the name of the hotel? Do you remember the name of the hotel, Sam?
No.
Well,
sorry.
That sums up my point entirely. So they call her boyfriend Danny, and he said that the manager is a man called David. That's all he knows as well. So her parents are like us, Sam, detectives. They go right on her Facebook page and go through her friend list, and this is where they find a David Minto who worked at the Grafton House Hotel. Now they headed towards the hotel, which was a hotel near the side of the beach, and David Minto was there. He confirmed that, yes, Sasha worked there. She was a part-time cleaner. However, she left hours ago. She went to meet her dad, said he was picking her up and that they'd arranged that. So, of course, they're now like, oh my God, has there been an accident? They're calling local hospitals, but nothing's there. Has she been abducted? Has something happened to her? So, of course, they call the police. Police arrive at their house at 11 p.m. And as they're telling the story about Sasha, where she works, what's happening, the police are now putting this together and thinking, okay, this is where a body has just been found off a girl's charred remains. This isn't great. So they asked Sasha what she was wearing that night, and her dad describes what she was wearing when he dropped her off. And that's when the police have to kind of alert them that they have found similar charred clothing on a woman's body at the back of this hotel. The Sasha's mum and dad then give the police Sasha's toothbrush, and they take it to the lab, and it comes back as a DNA match to the woman found behind the hotel. So the 16-year-old body of Sasha Marsden is the body in the alleyway. Her family are obviously distraught, of course, and they actually release a statement, which I'm going to read to you. I'm not normally read these in full, but I just think you should hear it. So it says, quote, "No words can express how we feel. Our beautiful daughter has been taken from us. She was a loving daughter, sister, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, auntie, niece, cousin and girlfriend. She was very much loved, and her loss has left a huge gap in all of our lives, a gap that can never be filled. Sasha was your typical teenager, a fun-loving girl who enjoyed spending time with her friends and boyfriend, with her parents being last on the list unless she wanted something or needed a lift somewhere. We would ask that we be left alone in private to allow us to come to terms with losing our beautiful, precious daughter," end quote. Now, the family tell the police that she'd started working at that hotel, and her first shift was actually that afternoon. So she hadn't been working there for long. Now, the police are obviously like, okay, let's have a think about this. And David Minto is identified as her manager. Now, police go to speak to him as if she was meant to have left the hotel hours ago, which he said, okay, I dropped her in town. How has she then got behind the hotel? So they speak to his girlfriend, Rachel. Now, it comes out that David Minto is in no way the manager. He is not the manager at all. His girlfriend, Rachel Butterworth, owns the hotel with her family. He is a handyman for the hotel. When speaking to Rachel's mum, she said that he actually spent a lot of time down the stairs in the basement playing video games, and described him as the word lazy quite a few times. When it was put to Rachel that Sasha worked there, she was confused. She said the hotel was closed for the season and they didn't require any cleaning staff because the hotel was under renovation and they had no guests staying there. So what would a cleaner be doing making beds and tidying up after guests if there was no guests? Now, when Rachel got home on the 31st, she said that he was acting unusual. And the first main concern was that he was actually up the stairs and out of the basement when she got home. He was in the bar area saying that he'd had a really bad nosebleed and he'd managed to get blood on both himself and the floor. Rachel had also had a part-time job. She had a part-time job on Mondays and Thursdays. A Monday was the day that Sasha went around for a trial shift, and a Thursday was the day of her first shift. When Sasha's body was found, David said to Rachel that there's a burning mannequin behind the hotel. But when they then found out it was a body, he then told Rachel that his DNA will be on it because he prodded the body thinking it was a mannequin, and that's how he found out it was a person. So he prodded a burning body, and that's why his DNA will be on Sasha's body, because he did touch her. Now, of course, you'll be pleased to know David Minto was arrested and charged with her murder.
Oh my God, what an arsehole is he? Like, I'm sorry, you're going to poke a body. Oh, now my DNA's all over it. Oh, look at me. Oh, it exactly. Just screams, I've murdered someone.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry if he's innocent, Caitlin, you haven't told me yet, but...
No, you've just found him
guilty in my eyes.
I know, I think the whole thing seems weird, and I think obviously it shows as well that whatever does happen, the girlfriend was completely out of the loop of it. Like, she has just straight up been like, no, he's not manager. No, we don't have a cleaner. Everything he has basically said is not true.
Yeah,
so, as I said, he's arrested and charged, and he's held in custody and appears in front of Blackpool Magistrate Court on Monday. Now, during the investigation, it came to light that Sasha and David met for the first time at the end of 2012 at the Coral Island amusement parks. Now, he was meeting a girl called Kimberly there, and the three of them spent some time together. And that is when he then left and he went and met Rachel. Now, the whole Kimberly and Minto situation is a bit weird. So David Minto and Kimberly met in college in 2006 and they kind of kept friends on Facebook. Even though she had a boyfriend, he kept asking Kimberly to visit him at the hotel on a Thursday afternoon. On the 27th of January, 4 days before Sasha's body is found, Kimberly visits him at the hotel and he gave her a tour, showed her the hotel, showed her around the bar area, yada yada. Now, he showed her the bedroom where he slept with Rachel, obviously, and then that's when David Minto becomes a bit weird and he tries to touch her inappropriately. When she said to stop, he didn't until she actually broke free and ran off. Now, she didn't tell anyone about this, Sasha included, or the police. Now, that afternoon, so the 27th of January, is when Sasha was added on Facebook by a David, quote, Demon Minto, is his Facebook name, and messaged, and he messaged her, saying there's a job at his hotel. Now, that is the only contact found between Sasha and David, basically, is them arranging to meet that first time for the shift. The hotel was checked and Sasha's blood was found on Minto's clothing, in the house, in the bath, and her jewellery had actually been flushed down the toilet. Her items, like her phone and her clothes, etc., were found in a nearby bin. Now, he said he was innocent. He said he knew her, of course, and that she visited on the 31st for a cleaning job. He had hired this cleaner without Rachel's knowledge. He showed her the ropes and then he went into the bathroom. He said that he came back out of the bathroom and then she initiated sex with him. She basically pounced on him, according to David. And he was like, nope, like, I'm not interested. So she was like, okay, fair enough. She continues doing her cleaning jobs. He's taking the bins out and that's when he hears Sasha yelling inside. He says that he goes in and finds her having a really bad nosebleed in the bar area. He cleans her up, cleans floor up, and then she goes, right, I'm actually getting picked up with my dad. So she is walked by David to the pickup location, and then he leaves her there. He's like, bye. Or she goes, he goes back. And then the next time he sees her is when her body was behind the hotel on fire. So he's like, I don't know how she got back behind the hotel on fire. I've got absolutely no idea. Now, Sasha's funeral was held on the 27th of February in St. Chad's Church in Poulton. Now, most people wore pink or purple for her favourite colours, and Swedish House Mafia's Don't You Worry Child was played as her coffin went down. Now, unfortunately, David pleads not guilty, so that means a trial has to go ahead for the family. The trial began on July the 15th, 2013, by prosecutor Peter Wright. He said that David Minto had lured Sasha there pretending she was working as a cleaner, but he was actually in no position to hire anyone, so kept this meeting a secret. He said that once at the hotel, David turned on her, and as she declined his advances, he then attacked her from behind with a large kitchen knife. There was wounds on her hands, fingers and forearms that were classed as self-defence wounds, so she had struggled, bless her, which I think we see this so often, but I can't obviously imagine what her final moments were like. Sasha was then assaulted when she was already most likely dead. He then wrapped her in a bin bag, carpet, and moved her into the alleyway, and then later that night he set her alight. He then began covering his tracks, trying to get rid of the DNA, trying to clean up the blood, yeah, yeah. In the alleyway, her blood-stained Adidas top, pink boots, and bag and jacket were found in a waste bin. And witnesses actually came to the court to discuss the fire. A man called John, who was at the hotel, along the road visiting his girlfriend, said he saw the fire and he was one of the people that helped put it out with buckets of water. At the time, he saw David Minto at the hotel back door, who was standing, kind of just texting on his mobile, quite chill. He said he was quite calm and John was taken aback when actually he went over to David and said there's been a mannequin set on fire at the back of your hotel. And Minto replied, quote, since when does a mannequin bleed? Minto invited the group of helpers into the hotel after this and apparently he was fine. He was quite calm, offered people a drink if they needed it. And they're all like, we have just found a woman's body on fire. Like, a dead woman's remains have been lit on fire outside of your hotel. And he was the calmest in the room.
He may as well just have worn a sticker saying, I did it.
Yeah.
Right on your head. Because you're acting like a total twat. Sorry. He's really annoyed me.
Fair enough. Rachel also filled in the jury about her coming home and finding Minto cleaning up. Kimberly also testified basically telling them that basically saying like this is my interaction, this is what happened. The prosecution then go through the DNA and the blood. Her blood was found on his clothes, the kitchen knife, and in the hotel. They were told about her jewellery being flushed down the toilet, and David Minto testified on the stand, and this is when he comes out with a different story. David said that he had consensual sex with Sasha. He said he then walked her to her dad. He gets back to the hotel, and there she is, in the hotel, dead in the hallway. He said he dropped her off. He obviously just walked back to the hotel. She's obviously walked back another way. He's got back to the hotel and saw that the back door was open. He's gone in. He was cleaning up from the nosebleed that she had, and then he saw her dead in the hallway. He said he was so confused. He was very calm when he said she was covered in blood and her neck and arms had been cut. He said he tried to find a pulse and he couldn't find a pulse. So the only thing that came into his head, his main priority was like, I need to get rid of this blood. He said, quote, I have a thing about blood. I don't like it. Not a phobia, but a queasiness. So he says, yeah, I don't know how she got there, but I wrapped her up, put her in the alleyway. And he said he didn't set her on fire. He said he was outside having a fag and that's when he saw the alleyway on fire. He said that it was obviously some youths playing around in the alleyway, and then he went and saw that it was actually Sasha that they had set on fire. The defence asked if he had hated or killed Sasha or harmed her in any way, and said no. He had absolutely no idea how she ended up dead in his hotel. He dropped her off to meet her dad, and she's obviously somehow got back there and got murdered prior him arriving home.
What, did she run in front of him or something?
Exactly, and someone's just been there to kill her, even though he's the only person in the hotel.
Wow.
Like, what an absolute pile of piss, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could not make that up. So, when obviously asked, why didn't you call the police if that wasn't you? And he said that he knew the police would blame him. When asked about Kimberly and what happened there, and, like, why was he harassing her, etc., he basically said that she was a friend and he doesn't have many friends. He was quite chill about that and kind of denied harassing her on Facebook. When Kimberly had left, that is when David Minto contacted Sasha, and the prosecutor put that to him that basically he was looking for a victim. So because Kimberly had turned him down, he basically went and looking for Sasha and actually called him a predator and an opportunist. The closing arguments were presented and they discussed the DNA and the changing events from David Minto. Because, of course, he said that he had no idea. He's then said that there was a nosebleed and he turned her down. He's then saying he's had sex with her, dropped her off and then found out. So his story's changing constantly. And for your story to change while on the stand, that is just ridiculous. Defence say that Sasha returned and was attacked by another one or two assailants, and then David Minto found them. Said that Kimberly was unreliable as they had messaged on Facebook after and asked if he was killing Sasha for that reason, why didn't he kill Kimberly? Like, I mean, what the fuck? Help me out here, because I'm like, well, maybe, do you know, you can't just say, well, he wouldn't just kill one. Like, that just sounds worse, do you know what I mean? The day after Sasha was killed, details of her murder and rape and stabbing were on Facebook, but David Minto and Rachel were at the police headquarters getting interviews, so the defence's argument there is like, who posted it? Someone else must have known the details, so it couldn't have been David Minto that knew just owned the details. And it's like, but you hear about how quickly rumours spread. So if a body is found on fire,
so he could have
told
someone. No, you're completely right. Yeah, he could have told someone as well. Who else's DNA is all over him?
No, exactly. One. Exactly. It's honestly just stupid. The jury deliberated for 3 hours, and you'll be glad to know that David Minto was found guilty of Sasha Morrison's murder. Judge Anthony Russell sentenced him to life with a minimum of 35 years. Now, after this, Sasha's family were determined for her murder to bring change. Her sister Gemma attended Prime Minister's Question Time in the August, and the aim was to discuss sexist and violent attitudes towards women and how social media dealt with this and how men disrespect them online, basically. They also done a fundraiser for the Lancashire Safe Centre, for those who report rape or sexual assault, and they raised over £2,000 and used this to buy rape alarms. In January 2024, in January 2014, David Minto appealed his sentence and this was denied. That February, Gemma began a petition for improved sex education in schools, as a couple of months before, the House of Lords had actually rejected state funding for state schools to have a sex education programme or a life skills programme. So this needs to be in schools. And I think a lot of people still kind of hide away from that, oh, you don't want to teach kids about this. But I think the earlier and the more younger students who are aware, obviously, I'm not saying like nursery, geez, but I think the more kind of sex education and the kind of awareness of what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, the better. I think we need to be educating people from a young age that this is not okay. And the fact I have to say that is just stupid as it is. And you're actually going to get it through her campaigning. What did Gemma get? She actually got rape and death threats, which just proves her fucking point. that someone's trying to stand up for rights and trying to say rape is bad, and people are then threatening to rape her. It's just stupid.
You can't write it.
I know, genuinely, and I think it's so stupid that I'm having to even say, like, we need to teach people at school that rape is not okay, because it's such a given, but it's obviously not a given, because people are across the world are getting raped every day. Alas. Gemma led many protests for violence against women and, as I said, continued to kind of debate for improved sex education in school. In 2023, her family campaigned for Minto to actually get a full life order. So they actually campaigned for families' rights to appeal for longer sentences, as they have 28 days after sentencing to appeal. And as they said, that isn't long enough to get ready for appeal. You're still grieving. You're still kind of going through the motions. So they've asked for an extension in that, and also for the extension to allow a full life order. Because obviously 35 years is still a lot. Of course it is, you know. But that's him already served 10, so he technically could be out in 25 years, which is still a long time, but it doesn't mean he's behind bars for life, which I do understand her family's argument and upset over that. So that is the case of Sasha Marsden, which is a shame that that's the case with, you know, as much as we're talking at the start of Blackpool being a great place, it's a shame that that's the case we've had to bring to you guys. But I think it is so important, because I think the fact that he was, do you know, this sounds silly, he was so stupid. He just, like, allowed himself to be caught so easily. And I'm quite glad he did, though, because I think he would have absolutely gone on to hire other women. I don't know about you, Sam, but I think he wouldn't have just stopped with Sasha, no way.
No, he was a predator, and he wanted to do that. He had no respect for women, and I actually feel for his partner how she would have even got treated, because he's one of those, he just screams incel and also has no respect, thinks should be the boss. And he went out with a plan to hurt Sasha. He might not have went thinking, oh, I'm going to kill her. But clearly his plan went wrong, and then he killed her. And that could have happened a lot more.
Yeah, he's obviously invited Kimberly over to sleep with him. She said no. So he's automatically just went, right, okay, I'll get Sasha. But he's thinking, okay, I don't know this girl, so how, like, you know, you can't, not in this day and age, if you have a boyfriend at 16, if you get added by someone on Facebook, even being like, hey, I want to be your friend, you're going to be like, no. So he's probably thought, okay, if I say there's a job, she might be more inclined to then come and meet me, you know. So
yeah, she was lured in from the get-go.
He's an absolute predator.
Yeah,
he deserves life. Yeah, you're absolutely right.